Now, another Astros podcast.
Welcome back to Ash Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with Oakland skipper Bob Melvin today. Usually try to catch up once a year with you, Bob. And just want to ask you, I read something about you last night, and you've had a lot of great managers when you were playing, and you've taken a lot of things from a bunch of guys. Johnny Oates was one of your managers with Baltimore, and he's the first one to plant that coaching bug in your ear. Do you remember that?
I do, and you know, I'd never even thought about it before, but we had good dialogue. Your catcher and the manager always have good dialogue, and really a manager makes the catcher watch the game like a manager does. So just having the experience as a catcher. But we were playing Toronto one day, and they were going from the 7th to the 8th inning, and they had a left-hander pitcher in. We had a left-hander leading off the next inning, and they didn't send the lefty out there just to try to make us make a move. And I asked him, why wouldn't they send the lefty out there just to make us make a move? And he goes, I'm going to tell you something Walter Alston told me a long time ago. He goes, you watch the game the right way, I think you have a chance to do this. So it's the first time that, like you said, a seed was planted that I thought, you know what, maybe someday.
And then Frank Robinson, who was one of your managers, he got something out of you that you didn't really expect out of yourself. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, there were quite a few with Frank, but he made me a leader, a quarterback. He made me a little bit tougher. When I came from the Giants, I was that younger player, that second catcher that was looked at, you know, like a younger player. And when I got to Baltimore at the end of spring, I said, okay, what are your signs to me going to be? And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, well, what are your signs going to be for throwovers, pitch outs, so forth and so on? He goes, well, let me ask you something. Who knows how we're going to attack the hitters better than you do? Who knows the adjustments the hitters make? And who knows the running game better than you do? I expect you to be my quarterback. I expect you to go back there and lead. And boy, I opened my eyes, and really that year became a different player.
Have you ever handed over the reins to one of your catchers in that fashion?
I have. There's so much information now that like with Steven Vogt, I go over this stuff with him. He looks at me because I got all the stuff in front of me, but he's very aware. When he looks at me, a lot of times he knows what the signs are going to be anyway. Sometimes I'll do it in spring training, but there's just so much information now and not as much that there used to be that you'll see every manager in the league still doing what we're doing.
Which players have you coached? You've been in three different spots as a manager. Which players ask you the best questions? Can you name a couple?
Steven Vogt's going to be one of those guys. I really believe that. You know, over the really all the catchers that I've had to extend. Dan Wilson's a guy that I had in Seattle. You know, he's such a family man. He's gotten back into it a little bit, but I really think that he could be a manager if he wanted to. I'm not sure that he wants to be. You know, I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I know all my catchers based on the fact that they have to watch the game like a manager. All those guys have the potential for it.
Tell us about your relationship with Josh Reddick, who's with the Astros obviously now, but it seems like you guys were tight.
Really tight, and I threw batting practice to him every day, and you know, really saw him blossom in to a star the first year that he came to us. And here's a guy that, you know, was basically a role player, a bench player in Boston, came to us, put him in the three hole out of need, hit 30 plus home runs last year. We ended up winning the American League West. So he was very instrumental, and also the guy that I really leaned on to have our other players watch the way he played the game. He ran down the line hard every time. He was prepared to play every day. He had a little bit of the red, you know what, from time to time, but that's okay too. And we had a very close relationship. Unfortunately, I have to see him 19 times on the other side, and you saw what he can do. Mm-hmm. Even when he's not swinging the bat last night, he brings a lot to the table. But a guy that, like you said, I was very close to.
I've read players of yours talk about how consistent you are with your demeanor, whether you guys are losing or winning. Even when things are going on inside of your mind, is that important for you?
It is. You know, there are times, you know, it's our job to motivate them, you know, and inspire them. But you also have to be consistent when you're losing. We're going through a tough stretch right now after what was a very good stretch. Yeah. But they have to understand over 162, you can't play roller coaster. You have to have the same mindset every day. You have to go out there with the same focus every day with the expectation to win every day. And I think that's the most important thing, is to be as consistent as you can. Like I said, there are times when you're losing or winning that you might have to tweak that a little bit. But I think routine is very important in this game. If you can take that same routine and insulate it each and every day, I think you're going to be better for it over the course of 162.
That's two-time Manager of the Year, Bob Melvin. Thanks for catching up. Always great to see you.
My pleasure. You as well.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros. Radio Network.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros first base coach and infield coach Rich Dower. And you have a pretty talented group of infielders you get to work with, Richie. You had to do a little bit of shuffling with Altuve not starting a couple of games after coming out with the collision. But, I mean, you just have so much depth with the infield, and you have a guy like Marwin Gonzalez or Alex Bregman who you can plug in at a bunch of different spots. Gurriel, too.
Well, that's true. They can all play a lot of different positions. And to believe it or not, Correa could probably be one of the better second basemen in the league, too. But we have a lot of talent. Marwin creates a lot of freedom for AJ to do whatever he wants. If anybody goes down, we have plenty of coverage at any position.
Gurriel's been playing mostly first base so far. It's a pretty new position for him, although he did play there last year, but got a full spring training, getting a workout at first base. How has his development been over there for you?
Well, he's been outstanding. He's saved probably already 10 errors on the infield. Just done a great job, made great plays. He's made all the routine plays. He's just a real joy. I finally got to know him in spring training, but what a delightful personality and hard worker. And his demeanor sometimes doesn't maybe look like it, that he's very, slow or whatever, but he's not, man. When it's game time and when it's time to act, he's quick.
How much did it help having Jeff Bagwell come down as a special instructor during camp to work with Yuli on some of the nuances of playing first base?
Well, I mean, anytime you have somebody of that caliber, I mean, it's always going to, kids look up to him and stuff. I mean, it would be nice if he was there every day. Baggy was, as for somebody that with his size and his ability, was probably one of the most agile first basemen to play the game. And I've played with I've coached, and I've played with some great ones. And, everybody keeps saying, oh, we'll just put him over on first base, or, if you can hit, you can find a position for him on first base. Well, first base is probably one of the most important positions on the field because you handle the ball pretty much every play.
Try to go down memory lane here with you. A significant moment happened on this day in your career, 1979, April 29th. You played against Oakland, who the Astros are playing today. The game was at the Coliseum. You were with the Orioles. You had a four-hit game and then hit a home run in that game. Very next day, Orioles go to Seattle, Kingdome, play the Mariners. You have another four-hit game with a couple of doubles. Back-to-back four-hit games, 8 hits in 2 games. Do you remember much about those two?
Having a four-hit game, I would never forget. I don't remember it very well. I just do remember, every once in a while I was lucky.
So you were just lucky, sticking around in the big league as long as you did. You were just lucky.
Yeah. Well, I also had a very good team to play with, so I had a lot of coverage when I wasn't doing well, and there was a lot of times like that. But I always seemed to be able to catch the ball and throw it to first base. So with the Orioles back in those days, if you could, we had pitching and defense, and then if we scored one run, we felt we should beat anybody.
And that 1979 team, that was a team that wound up getting to the World Series, lost the World Series to the Pirates in 7 games. Was that one of the more disappointing moments in your career, disappointing moments in your run with Baltimore?
Well, I wouldn't say it was disappointing. Anytime you can get to the World Series, you're the only scoreboard. Your game is the only scoreboard at the end of the day. But we were young. There was 10 of us. They called us the Altabelli 10 that came up to play with Earl, for Earl. I'm not saying we were just happy to be there because we wanted to win, and we had a 3-1 lead, and we had a lot of veterans on the club, which is what we've done to this club, is add the veterans. So they taught us how to win, and it was very disappointing. But to say it was a major disappointment, I would say no. It was one of my better highlights.
Rich Dower, Astros first base coach and infield coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Houston Astros Radio Network.